Well, this is Karma Hadjimichalikas. This is the second presentation on the goods and services market. In the first presentation, we introduced the Keynesian cross diagram, and we used the graphical model to explain factors that affect GDP. In this presentation, we go to the next step by examining the algebra of income determination. In other words, we put together a simple quantitative version of the goods and services market. This material is coordinated with Chapter 24 of the textbook. We know that equilibrium in the goods and services market means that aggregate demand equals aggregate output. So mathematically, we are solving one equation, AD equals Y, for one unknown, namely Y, which represents aggregate output and aggregate or national income. Equation 2 shows that aggregate demand is the sum of planned consumption, planned investment, planned government spending, and planned net exports. So we must next develop the demand function. Because we assume that investment, government spending, and net exports are all exogenous variables, the only demand function that needs explaining is consumption demand. First, we specify the consumption function in general functional form. According to equation 3, consumption is a function of disposable income. The dots in the function are placeholders for the other factors that affect consumption, such as tastes of households. The plus sign under YD in the consumption function means that consumption varies positively with disposable income. That is, an increase in disposable income increases consumption, and a decrease in disposable income decreases consumption. Now we know that disposable income is equal to national income minus taxes plus transfers, as shown by equation 4. Therefore, Y, taxes, and transfers are all factors that affect consumption. The first row of the schematic shows that other things equal, consumption varies positively with national income. That is, as Y goes up, disposable income rises, and hence consumption rises. The second row of the schematic shows that consumption varies inversely with taxes. In other words, taxes go up, disposable income goes down, and consumption goes down. And the last row of the schematic shows that consumption varies positively with transfers. As transfers go up, disposable income goes up, and consumption rises. Next, we go from a general functional form to a specific form for the consumption function. Equation 5 is a linear equation that satisfies the relations stipulated in the previous slide. According to equation 5, consumption depends on two components. The first component, C bar, is called autonomous consumption. It collects all the factors that affect consumption that are independent of disposable income. The second term gives the part of consumption that depends on disposable income. We see that according to this term, consumption varies positively with disposable income. Little c is called the marginal propensity to consume out of disposable income. It measures the change in consumption with respect to a change in disposable income. Ultimately, we want to express consumption as a function of national income, which is the variable we are solving for in our model. Therefore, we need to investigate how taxes and transfers vary with national income. Equation 6 stipulates our assumptions about the tax and transfer functions. First, we see that taxes consist of two types. The first term, TA bar, we call lump sum taxes. That captures all the taxes that are independent of income, for instance, property taxes. The next term, TY, shows that taxes also vary with national income, where T is the income tax rate. So as national income goes up, taxes rise by the amount T times the change in Y. Now with the transfer function, we make the simplifying assumption that transfers are independent of income. So the transfer function is TR equals TR bar, where recall that a bar over a variable means a given value of that variable. So next we plug equation 6, the tax and transfer functions, into the definition of disposable income. And then when we collect terms, we get equation 7 for disposable income. And we see that according to 7, disposable income consists of two components. The first, 1 minus T times Y, depends on national income. And the second, lump sum transfers minus lump sum taxes are independent of national income. Okay, let's look at this equation in a little more detail to see how each of the variables affect disposable income. Okay. Let's start with the first term, 1 minus T times Y. Now, if national income were to go up by a dollar, what this term shows is that disposable or discretionary income would go up by 1 minus T times a dollar. So say the tax rate was 20%, 0.2. Then if national income goes up by a dollar, disposable income would go up by 80 cents. With the second term, TR bar minus TA bar, we see that if lump sum transfers TR bar go up by a dollar, disposable income goes up by a dollar. And on the other hand, if lump sum taxes, TA bar, go up by a dollar, then disposable income would fall by a dollar. There's one other variable in this equation in the first term, and that is the tax rate. Suppose that the tax rate, T, were to rise. Then according to the first term in equation 7, the change in disposable income would be minus Y times the change in the tax rate. So if delta T is positive, the change in disposable income minus Y times delta T would be negative. So the tax rate rises and disposable income falls. Now, we're ready to get the final form for the consumption function. So we substitute the expression for disposable income, equation 7 from the previous slide, into the consumption function, equation 5, and we get consumption as a function of national income. After gathering terms, we end up with equation 8. We see that the first two terms that affect consumption in equation 8 are independent of national income, Y. Recall that C bar is what we call autonomous consumption. It's that part of consumption that doesn't depend on national income or on disposable income. The second term, C times lump sum transfers minus lump sum taxes, shows the effect of a change in net transfer payments. So suppose that net transfer payments, the difference between TR bar and TA bar, went up by a dollar. Then disposable income would go up by a dollar, and consumption would go up by C, the marginal propensity to consume out of disposable income times a dollar. And of course, the last term shows that consumption varies positively with national income. Now let's look at the coefficient of national income here. It's C times 1 minus T. C times 1 minus T is called the marginal propensity to consume out of national income. It measures the change in consumption with respect to a change in national income. So if Y goes up by a dollar, disposable income goes up by 1 minus T times a dollar, and C goes up, C meaning consumption, goes up by the marginal propensity to consume, little c, times 1 minus T times a dollar. Note that the marginal propensity to consume out of national income and the marginal propensity to consume out of disposable income are different. The marginal propensity to consume out of national income is equal to the marginal propensity to consume out of disposable income, little c, times 1 minus T. It is the coefficient of Y in the consumption function. This next slide shows the consumption function graphically. Okay. The intercept captures all the items in the consumption function that don't depend on income. The two terms, C bar plus C times lump sum transfers minus lump sum taxes. Okay. And, of course, the slope of the consumption function is the change in consumption with respect to the change in national income. So it's the marginal propensity to consume out of national income, C times 1 minus T. Note that on the horizontal axis in the graph, we measure national income, not disposable income, but national income, because national income is a variable that ultimately we will solve for. Now let's consider the other components of aggregate demand. This is easy because we assume that all the other components of the aggregate demand are exogenous. They're determined outside of the model. So equation 9 gives the investment function I equals I bar. Again, a bar means a fixed value. So it says investment depends on other factors, but not on income. The same is for G. G equals G bar, net exports equals NX bar. So now, to derive the demand function, we add up all the components. We add up C, I, G, and NX, as shown in equation 12. So the first line shows all the components of consumption, and the second line of equation 12 shows investment, government spending, and net exports. Next, we rearrange the terms. So in equation 13, we collect all the terms that don't depend on income. C bar, C times lump sum transfers minus lump sum taxes, plus I bar, plus G bar, plus NX bar. These are all the terms that don't depend on income, and we will denote them by A bar. So equation 14 gives the final form of the aggregate demand function. Aggregate demand is equal to A bar. That consists, again, of all the parts of C, I, G, and NX that don't depend on Y, and that's sometimes referred to as autonomous demand, plus the marginal propensity to consume out of national income, C times 1 minus T times national income. And of course, we know that consumption is the only item, the only portion of demand in our model that depends on national income. So equation 14 gives our simple linear demand function. This next slide shows the aggregate demand relationship both algebraically and graphically. We measure aggregate demand on the vertical axis and national income Y on the horizontal axis. So the A bar term, again, is the intercept. It captures all of the factors that affect aggregate demand that don't depend on Y. And the slope is C times 1 minus T. It's the marginal propensity to consume out of national income. Recall that in the previous presentation on the goods and services market, we also defined the slope of the AD curve as the marginal propensity to spend, which is the change in AD with respect to the change in Y. The reason that the marginal propensity to spend and the marginal propensity to consume out of national income are the same in this model is that only consumption demand depends on income. Okay. Finally, equation 15 gives us the solution for y. So if we start with the first equation, AD equals y, and then we substitute for AD A bar autonomous demand plus C times 1 minus T times Y, that's aggregate demand, we set it equal to Y, and solve for Y, we end up with equation 15. It says Y equals 1 over 1 minus C times 1 minus T times A bar. Now the 1 over 1 minus C times 1 minus T, it's 1 over 1 minus the slope of the AD curve. That is the multiplier that we discussed in the presentation on the goods and services market. So equation 15 says y is equal to the multiplier times A bar, autonomous demand. Now with respect to the multiplier, we know that the slope of the AD curve is greater than 0 and less than 1. And that means that the multiplier will be greater than 1. This slide shows both the Keynesian cross diagram and the algebraic solution for y. Okay. We see, again, in equation 15 that y is equal to 1 over 1 minus c times 1 minus t times a bar. And on the graph, we know that a bar is the intercept of the aggregate demand curve, and c times 1 minus t is the slope of the aggregate demand curve. So the intercept and the slope determine the position of the AD curve. And equilibrium occurs in the goods and services market at the point where the aggregate demand curve crosses the 45 degree line. In the final two slides, now we will use the graphs to show the effect of the change in two parameters. First, we'll look at a change in A bar, and then we'll look at a change in the tax rate. This slide shows the effect of a change in autonomous demand. What we are assuming here is that there is an exogenous increase in investment. An increase in what Keynes vividly called the animal spirits of entrepreneurs, a change in the attitudes of entrepreneurs. They're more optimistic about future economic prospects, so they want to increase investment. So we start at point E, which is the original equilibrium point, with Y equal to Y1. Now the increase in animal spirits increases investment demand, so the investment demand curve shifts upward by the amount ED. That's the exogenous change in aggregate demand. So now firms find they can sell more than they plan to sell. They hire more labor and increase output. An increase in output means an increase in income, which induces further increases in aggregate demand, shown by the movement along the demand curve from point D to point F. Point F is the new equilibrium. Once again, aggregate demand equals aggregate output. Y has increased, and Y has increased by a multiple amount of the original change in aggregate demand, where recall that the multiplier is 1 over 1 minus the slope of the AD curve. The last slide shows the effect of a cut in the income tax rate for households, T. The schematic under the slide shows that as T falls, it means disposable income goes up and consumption rises, which means AD goes up. So let's now look at the graph and see what happens. Okay. We start at point E, which is the original equilibrium. So initially, aggregate demand equals aggregate output. at point E with the tax rate T1 is noted in the label of the initial AD curve. Okay. Now, a fall in the tax rate means that the marginal propensity to consume out of national income rises. Okay. So the slope of the AD curve gets steeper because the slope of the consumption curve gets steeper. So we see in the diagram now that the AD curve pivots. We've got a steeper AD curve labeled AD T2. Okay. So we start at the initial equilibrium level of output, Y equals Y1. And initially, the equilibrium was at point E. Okay. Now at this level of Y, after a fall in the tax rate, the market is no longer cleared. Plans no longer match because demand is now given by point D. So there is an increase in aggregate demand shown on the graph by the amount ED. And note just above point D that the change in aggregate demand, the distance between point E and point D, is equal to minus CY delta T. Now let's see why. Okay. Recall that when the tax rate changes, the change in disposable income is equal to minus Y times delta T. Okay. So if the tax rate falls, disposable income changes by minus Y1 delta T. Tax rate falls means delta T is negative, so minus a minus is a plus. So disposable income goes up. And then consumption rises by C times the change in disposable income. So that's the distance ED. So again, tax rate falls, disposable income goes up, planned consumption goes up, aggregate demand rises. Now at Y1, there's excess demand for goods. Firms can sell more than they plan to sell, so they hire more labor and increase output. So Y rises. And as Y rises, it means that output goes up, means income goes up. So there's a movement along the demand curve from point D to point F. Note that this is the new steeper demand curve. So in this case, the multiplier has changed. The multiplier increases because the slope of the AD curve increases. So that induced change in demand is shown by the movement from point D to point F. Okay. So point F represents the new equilibrium. Output is higher as a result of the fall in the tax rate. After viewing these slides, I suggest that you try out the model by working on the assigned problems in chapter 24. That's it. Always forget to time it. Let's see how long did it take? Yeah. I thought about this one in more detail because it's a little more technical. Okay, so now save this recording, right?